This is the TriDot Podcast. TriDot uses your training data and genetic profile combined with predictive analytics and artificial intelligence to optimize your training, giving you better results in less time with fewer injuries. Our podcast is here to educate, inspire, and entertain. We'll talk all things triathlon with expert coaches and special guests. Join the conversation and let's improve together.
Welcome to the show, everybody. This is the episode so many of our TriDot athletes have been waiting for. It's the official TriDot podcast debut of Cindy Reeves. We'll be talking about Cindy's triathlon journey, as well as hearing about the most frequently asked questions the TriDot support team receives from all of us athletes. So, just who is the famous Cindy Reeves? Cindy is a multiple Ironman finisher who serves as a training advisor and leads TriDot athlete support. A job she takes so seriously that she has even produced a TriDot wedding. Cindy and her husband Ronnie have been married since 1994 and have three kids and one grandson. For her, triathlon is a family thing, with her husband and multiple members being deeply involved in the sport. She has been a part of the TriDot team from the very beginning, so Cindy, I am so thrilled to have you on with us today. Are you excited for your first podcast experience?
I am a little nervous, but I think I'll do it.
I think you're going to do great. We're super excited to talk to you. Literally, Cindy, on Facebook, I don't remember when and where and how this came up, but on the I Am TriDot Facebook group, I don't remember if I flirted out there as a joke or if one of our athletes did, but people, as they commonly do, were bragging about how amazing Cindy Reeves, our athlete support system, is, and someone was like, oh, I just talked to Cindy about this and that, and it was amazing, da-da-da. So all of our athletes start chiming in about how great Cindy is at her job of supporting her athletes, and I don't remember if it was me or an athlete, but somebody made the joke, there should be a podcast episode with Cindy where she talks about just her life story, her history in the sport, all the different things she's helped athletes with over the years. And so I know our athletes are super excited to have you on today. So I know you're a little nervous for your first appearance, but you're going
to
do great.
Yeah, I was not real happy when John called me and told me that this was going to happen. I definitely like to stay behind the scenes, but anything to help our athletes, I'm in.
Yes, I love it. Well, also joining us today is Coach John Mayfield, a successful Ironman athlete himself. John leads TriDot's Athlete Services, Ambassador, and Coaching Programs. He has coached hundreds of athletes, ranging from first-timers to Kona qualifiers and professional triathletes. John has been using TriDot since 2010 and coaching with TriDot since 2012. John, how's it going today?
Going good. Likewise, I'm excited to have Cindy because it's going to be great content, but it's also getting her out of her comfort zone, which I like pushing her around every once in a while. So this will be fun.
I think it's part of what makes John a great triathlon coach. You like pushing anybody out of their comfort zone in any way, shape, and form. So
maybe so.
I really think he's trying to get back at me for all the years I've yelled at him through my bullhorn.
The bullhorn. Yep.
Well, I feel like there's a story here. So what is Cindy's bullhorn?
So Cindy's bullhorn is exactly that. Cindy attends a lot of races. She is a volunteer captain at the local Ironman 70.3 and Ironman race, Ironman Texas. And she's been doing that for like decades, and as well as all the other local races. And she's got a bullhorn that she takes with her, and she likes to find kind of isolated spots out on the course and yell at people through her bullhorn. And a lot of times it's typical what you would expect from Cindy. It's like, oh, you look great. You're crushing it. Keep going. And others, it's like when I come around, it's like, hey, pick it up. You're slacking. But it's always a ton of fun. So Cindy on the course is perhaps even better than Cindy behind the desk.
But I haven't experienced on-course Cindy yet. So
yeah,
one of these days.
It's a shame that Ironman Texas didn't happen as planned, because you would have experienced Cindy in all her glory.
Sounds like a real treat.
Just
yes,
wait.
You,
yeah,
would,
it's
you
coming.
Would have. I,
it's coming.
You would have caught, I would have caught you in the back.
Back
in
the woods.
Woods, yeah. Where you would never expect me.
I can't wait. And now I know it's coming.
On loop two and three, you know you've got a friend. So.
Perfect. Well, I'm excited for that. Well, who am I? I am your host, Andrew, the Average Triathlete, voice of the people, and the captain of the middle of the pack. Today, we're going to get going with our warm-up question, and then we'll move on to the main set, talking with Cindy and John about all the things they have learned about coaching triathletes from their years answering all of our endless questions. Then we'll cool down with something a little new today. We're going to end the show by giving a shout-out to some of our TriDot athletes, so stick around for the end. Who are we going to call out? We're going to compliment some of our athletes for something cool they've done recently. Is it going to be you? Is it going to be me? I don't know. Athlete shout-outs coming at the end of the show. It's going to be great. Let's get to it.
Time to warm up. Let's get moving.
At TriDot, we have a lot of occasions throughout the year where we get the chance to meet, train, and hang with our athletes. One type of those events are TriDot Ambassador Camps. Now, I bring this up today because all three of us were at TriDot's last Ambassador Camp hosted in Austin, Texas, and it was so much fun and such a success for us and our athletes that we've already been kicking around location ideas for future TriDot athlete camps. So for today's warm-up question, while I have Cindy on the show so I can hear her answer as well, if you could pick any destination in the world for us to host a TriDot athlete camp, where would you take us and why? Cindy, let's hear from you first on this.
So this was actually one of the questions that I knew the answer for right away and was
perfect.
Very comfortable with sharing. My spot does not take us out of the States. It's a little south of Atlanta, Georgia, in a town called Pine Mountain.
Pine Mountain, Georgia.
Yes, it is called Callaway Gardens. It is a 2,500-acre nature resort. And within the compound, they have the most beautiful roads for riding, amazing running trails, and a pristine lake that is surrounded by the world's largest man-made beach. But what's
wow.
great about the facility is that it has hundreds of cottages. So what I think would be great about the next athlete camp is that people are able to bring their families. I think so often in this sport, we start to mingle with other athletes, but what really takes it up a level is when we start to include the families and get to know them. So that's my spot.
I think it's a great pick. So growing up in Florida, my family would always do fall vacation in that area. We would normally go north, just north of Atlanta, kind of the lower Smokies, but staying in cabins in those lake, you know, mountain lake towns. So beautiful area. Is there like a lot of hills in the riding
there?
They're
wonderful rollers. And
okay,
for
so nothing
me,
too mountainy.
Nothing too mountainy. We grew up vacationing at this resort.
Okay.
And then when I started to have a family, we started to take our kids. And about 7 years ago, I think they started to do a triathlon there. So every summer they host a triathlon. So I just think it would be the perfect spot.
So you guys know if you ever see TriDot advertising for a athlete camp there in Georgia, know that that was Cindy's idea, and you can thank her for that experience when you decide to go. So, John, how about you? Where do you want to put the next potential really awesome athlete camp?
So actually, the one we had in Austin, I think, is fantastic. I love Austin. It is quintessential
really, really
Texas.
Unique city.
So I was really proud of being able to bring in people from all over the country and show them a little bit of Texas and Austin specifically. But again, I always struggle with these warm-up questions, and I think I've got almost like the right answer, but it's just so obvious. It's not creative or anything. But to go and to host a camp in Kona.
Yeah.
The great thing about that is you could actually be on 100% of the course. It's actually something we've kicked around. Don't like start making reservations or anything because we're nowhere near having it done. But
this is all hypothetical, of course.
Yeah, and you know, honestly, it just wouldn't take all that much to do it. I think that would just be a really cool experience. I mean, very few of us have the opportunity to go and swim, bike, run in Kona. So I think that'd be a really cool opportunity to have something organized that would make the World Championship course approachable for everyone.
Well, there's a reason why training camps in Kona are so popular and so many companies and people do them is because as a triathlete, I mean, that's to your point, that's the quintessential place to be. I mean, and what other sport gives its athletes the ability to train and to experience the place where the World Championships take place, where the pros are racing for that world title? I mean, you don't get to play pick up football, you know, at the Super Bowl location.
Yeah, I can't get a tee time at Augusta.
Yeah, you can't get a tee time at Augusta. You can't, you know, there's so many sports where you don't have access to, you know, the high, I couldn't go pick, you know, play a game of a round of tennis at Wimbledon center court. I mean, you just don't have access to that. But our sport is so unique where you can go swim from Digme Beach and you can, you know, ride up the Queen K to Javi and you can run in the energy lab throughout the year. So I'm glad you said that. I mean, to your point, it's probably not the most plot twist kind of an answer, but it's a real thing where all of us would love the opportunity to go train there. So it's a good pick, John. What I'm going to say, I'm going to cheat a little bit in the sense that I don't have a specific location. But what I'm going to say is this. We have so many European athletes that have come on the Tri-Dot recently, and we're really excited about that. And just hearing their stories and hearing the races they're signed up for and seeing where they live and where they're training, man, I love traveling, and I think Europe just sounds so much more fascinating than Texas. That I would love to just do a training camp in Europe and get to meet some of our European athletes face-to-face, you know, get to train with them, go on some bike rides in some interesting places over there. So I don't have a specific place in mind. Maybe some of our European athletes can help me out with some good ideas there. But I would really love for us to one day organize something where we fly across the Atlantic and get to meet some of our athletes over there and put on a training camp in Europe.
I'm in.
Cindy's in. If it's good enough for Cindy, it's good enough for me.
I guess I'll go.
On to the main set. Going in 3, 2, 1.
Our main set today is brought to you by TriTats. Whether you're a seasoned Ironman or gearing up for your first local sprint try, TriTats will help you make your mark. These tough, stylish, and easy-to-use race number tattoos make you look and feel like a pro. I personally have raced countless local sprint and Olympic tries where I showed up thinking I had plenty of time to settle in the transition, only to find a massive line waiting to be body marked. Switching to TriTats has allowed me to show up on race morning with my focus on the finish line, not the body marking line. If you have an Ironman race this year, their Iron Tats are made especially for you. Iron Tats body mark you for that one key race and include the all-famous M-Dot logo. Friends don't let friends race with Sharpie on numbers. So as a friend of the podcast, head to TriTats.com and use promo code TRIDOT for 10% off your order. Again, that's TriTats.com, promo code TRIDOT. There are a lot of people behind the scenes at TriDot working day in and day out to make the athlete experience as great as possible. And out of everyone on the team, the one person communicating with athletes the most and thus having perhaps the best pulse on what athletes are asking is TriDot support specialist Cindy Reeves. If you've ever needed Cindy's expertise, you already know that she is the MVP of the TriDot staff. And I'm excited to have her on today to hear about her experience in the sport of triathlon and to dive into the most frequently asked questions she receives from athletes. So Cindy, can you kick us off today maybe by just giving everyone an overview of what your role is at TriDot?
Absolutely. Thank y'all for having me on. My main goal in the beginning when an athlete comes on board is to help them get acquainted with the site, take some time, walk them through it, go over the functionalities, make sure that they know how to properly set their account up. Once they have started the training program, I am that little red button at the bottom right-hand corner. Everybody loves the little red button. Now, please know that most of the time the little red button does not get me live, but sometimes you will. But then once an athlete gets going, they're going to have questions. With a site that's very dynamic as ours, there might be a functionality that an athlete's not sure about. And so I always tell athletes, don't hesitate to click that little red button and come to me for help.
John, would there be a way for us to add like a little like Cindy emoji to the corner of that red button where it says support and then had Cindy's little smiling face with like giving a thumbs up or something?
Yeah, so maybe our next guest could be Joey, our front end developer and IT guy. That would really be more a question for him, but I don't know, so I'll just say yeah, we'll get right on that.
All right. Be on the lookout for Cindy's smiling face on the TriDot support button. So before we get to talking about Cindy, the athlete support superhero, and those are my words, of course, describing her, and many of her athletes agree. But first, I want to talk about Cindy, the triathlete. How did you get started in the sport?
So my story is like so many athletes that we meet in this sport. It's just one of personal redemption. I definitely was not one of those athletes in my younger days. I had gotten to be pretty overweight. I was definitely living a very unhealthy lifestyle. I was a number of years into my marriage, and it was struggling. And so things in my life were just very challenging until I met a lady. She was heading out for a run, and she told me about this thing called a sprint triathlon. And I just decided that I was going to give it a try. I got out and was able to walk a half a mile at a time.
Okay. Quality start.
Pulled out an old mountain bike. Got out on the trails, and I had a very dear friend that taught me how to swim.
Well, and what I love about that is, like, it takes me back to the episode we did, John, about, I forget the number off the top of my head, but the episode about getting ready for your first triathlon. And we talked about that, how you can start in the sport. You don't need the expensive bike. You don't even need a road bike, right? You just need the willingness to get out there and try it. And just the bare minimum, and that's what you had.
Absolutely. I look back at the pictures from my first triathlon, and I show people all the time. I didn't need anything special.
Yeah.
I threw a bathing suit on and some shorts and a tank top, and I marched my little mountain bike right out there on the course, and everybody passed me, of course, on the bike, but I couldn't care less. You know, when you cross the finish line for your first sprint, I think that's just a memory that we all remember.
Yeah.
And so for me, it was a turning point. You know, my husband, you know, I kind of joke about this, but Ronnie did not come to my first sprint. When I told him I was going to do it, I remember him kind of looking at me and laughing. You know, there's no way he thought I was going to do that. Well,
was he active at all?
He was active in his younger days,
okay,
but had gotten out of it. And so he decided that he would jump into it also.
Okay.
And it just changed the direction of our whole life.
Wow.
You know, for those of you that are married, you know, it really helps to have something in common with your spouse that you can go out and do together. And that's what the sport gave to us. And then it just got better from there. You know, in 2008, out on the Ironman Arizona course, we were volunteering at the finish line. And that's how we met Jeff. You know, then he turned into our coach, Coach Boo.
And this is Jeff Booer, the founder and CEO of TriDot.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so that started our relationship with him and his training program at the time. We started to grow a little community here in Houston. I remember being so excited to go to our local YMCA once I finished my first sprint to find out that the YMCA had a tri team. And I was like, wow, people actually get together and train for this?
Yeah.
And it blew my mind. And so I showed up for an orientation of the Y tri team and sat down next to a lady and started talking to her and formed an initial friendship. And that's Coach JoJo. I mean, that's how we originally met as beginners in the YMCA tri team.
Coach Jo, who is a TriDot coach, a TriDot athlete, going
Absolutely.
To Kona this year.
She sure is.
And the founder of Hissy Fit Racing.
Yeah. And so it was great to form that friendship with her, to be able to go through your firsts with someone.
Yeah.
You know, we did a lot of traveling, a lot of racing together, herself, myself, and our partner, Suzette, and that just was wonderful. Meeting John was a part of it all, getting started and forming that connection with him.
Let's talk about that, John. How did you, at what point did you meet Ronnie and Cindy and kind of become friends with the Reeves family?
So it was kind of back in that same time period. I had recently gotten into triathlon and I was kind of in that phase, like so many of us go through, had done the sprint races and was all in, saying, yeah, this is my new jam. And I'd actually heard of Cindy, like her name was floating around for weeks to months.
And not even knowing it, she was a big deal in the Houston triathlon community.
You need to meet Cindy. And I remember place time. I have like one of those mental pictures of we actually went to the same church. It's a big church. So it's one of those like where we wouldn't necessarily just run into each other and know. But I remember the place and time where I was like, hey, there's Cindy and let me go introduce you. And I want to say that first conversation, I don't know, guessing probably was close to an hour and we just clicked and hit it off. And just kind of, I don't know if it's dumb luck or fate or design, but they were moving like 3 miles away from where I had just moved. So it became just super feasible for us to connect. I've mentioned her husband, Ronnie, several times on the podcast as one of my early mentors. And the whole, you can do anything for 3 minutes that I've told 100 athletes, that came from Ronnie and, lots of other great advice. And, it was back in those early days when we had a great, group that formed and grew and, man, the things we were able to do and the things we did were just really exciting, a ton of fun. And we did a lot. So yeah, it was great just to have a 10 plus year relationship with Ronnie and Cindy. And to think back that now here we are both, this is our careers that, you know, this was not our career we had no clue. I mean, it was just, we were going to get together and go do a sprint triathlon kind of a thing. And now here we are all these years later, and this is what we do. And we get to share it with all these people, which is, you know, we started off sharing it with a small community and a small group. And now here we are sharing it with athletes all over the world, which is just mind blowing.
So at the point that you are at Ironman Arizona in 2008 and you meet Jeff Buer, who is now all of our, you know, boss and friend and CEO and founder of TriDot. At that point, you had just been kind of doing local races, correct? You hadn't really gone for the full Ironman yet.
Oh yeah, no, we were still going small. In fact, it was that year at Arizona that Ronnie decided to sign up for his first full.
Okay.
And it was sitting there volunteering that allowed us to make that decision that this would be
something you wanted.
This would be something we wanted to do, because you know you have to discuss it when you're in the sport with your spouse. It kind of changes the ball game of how you're going to handle the longer distance races.
And so let's talk about the long distance races, because your first your introduction was you kind of stumbled into a Kona slot, and you had not done a full length Ironman, and all of a sudden here you are with an opportunity to go race in Kona. Tell me about kind of that process.
Yeah, I mean, I specifically remember the day that I found out. I was mopping my floors and my phone kept ringing and ringing and ringing. It's back when they, you know, announced via email, and I hadn't checked my email, and my training partner Suzette and Joanna were calling and calling and calling, and I was just in awe. I had absolutely no business entering the lottery. I hadn't even completed my first full. And it was kind of surreal. I remember putting the mop down, and I actually started to cry.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I was crying from excitement or crying from, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can do this. You know, look where I was just a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And so we set out. We had signed up to do Coeur d'Alene, so that was going to be my race before Kona. And so I did Coeur d'Alene. And thanks to Coach Boo.
Which is not an easy course, by the way.
No, not quite sure what we were thinking for our first coming from Houston and going to Coeur d'Alene. But, you know, it was an experience like all of the races. You know, a lot of athletes talk about their race and how the course was. Well, for me, it's more the experiences.
Okay.
Like for me, the Coeur d'Alene experience was flying up there with Joanna and Suzette and renting a house together. And it's all that makes a difference for me. And that's how it was for Kona. I mean, the race was super hard.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the course all day long. And what's great is you finish that day and you're just absolutely exhausted, but then you look at all of the blessings that happen during the day. For those of you that have been to Kona, they do an iron prayer. Federation of Christian Athletes does an iron prayer at a lot of Ironman races.
Well, I hadn't heard of that.
The iron prayer in Kona is at an old church on Alihi Drive, and it's the most beautiful church. And so I definitely wanted to go to that because my faith is really important to me. And so we show up for this service, and there's this pro triathlete, Sierra Snyder, and she's leading the service, and it was so emotional. We race the next day. I'm once again enjoying the course.
All day long.
All day long. And first I got to run with Harriet Anderson, and I don't know if any of y'all are familiar with her, but at the time she was one of the oldest women to race Kona.
Oh, wow.
She was in her late 70s, and she was just a gem to run with. And then as I was coming in the Queen K, what's unique about this course when you're out there late at night is it is completely pitch black.
Wow.
If you don't have a headlamp on, you can't see a foot in front of you.
Wow.
That's how dark it is.
That makes sense when you think about the location. Yeah.
Yes.
Middle of the ocean.
Yeah. You know, island highway in the middle of the ocean.
So I'm running with this guy behind me, and we're kind of sharing the light. And up from the distance comes this woman on a bicycle. And she's talking to the guy behind me, and then she comes up next to me just to encourage me and support me, and it was Sierra Snyder.
Oh, wow.
She had raced.
Finished
hours ago and had come back out onto the Queen K to support us last finishers coming in. Now, the guy behind me was her dad.
Okay.
But she came up to me and started talking, and after the race, a couple weeks later, I connected with her. We formed a friendship. Her family ended up moving, I think, from California to Austin, and she's now one of our TriDot coaches.
That's
she doesn't
so awesome.
Do as much coaching anymore, but all of that from winning a lotto slot at Kona. So just getting her friendship was worth going over there. I also got to race with a fellow Try for Him athlete. We had another one of our team members who was a lotto winner, and so that was really fun. And then I'll tell you, for those finishers at Kona, when you're one of the last ones, your crowd support is just as much as the winners. Yeah. And then when you're there at midnight, you get to experience the closing ceremonies, which is a drums and fire, and it just... it sits in your core. I mean, I'll never forget sitting there watching that. And so to me, the timing of my finish couldn't have been any better.
You saying that you're somebody who the experience of the race is really a bigger deal than the race itself.
Absolutely, 100%. I can't tell you the number of friends I have gotten while I've been racing.
Wow.
And my husband will tell you there's been a number of times where he's yelled at me, stop talking while you're racing. But that's just my joy when I race, is to meet people. I mean, one of my best Ironman races was with my sister-in-law, and we raced the whole thing together.
That's super cool. So I think for most people, when they go and race with Kona, that's the bucket list race for a lot of people. And for the most part, it seems like everybody I've talked to, it seems to live up for the hype. It sounds like it very much lived up to the hype for you, just the whole experience of going and racing on the Big Island.
Oh, absolutely. And I got to have my family with me, too. We kind of turned it into a little vacation. It was wonderful.
And so, and this is something I want people to know, John, because, you know, I talk on the podcast a lot about, you know, kind of your qualifications and Coach Jeff and Coach Elizabeth and all the people who are on regularly. We talk about, you know, the number of races they finished and you know, how fast, you know, this person is at that and that. And people don't realize, I mean, Cindy is a multiple Ironman finisher.
Yeah. Kona was in the end, what, another four Ironman finishes?
Quarterling, Kona.
Yeah, six fulls.
Okay. So when you're asking Cindy for her advice and her questions along the way through customer support, I mean, you're talking to a six-time Ironman finisher and somebody who has led triathlon clubs, somebody who has led triathlon groups and rides and practices and has unofficially coached some others and brought some athletes along.
And I'll say too, kind of like you claim to be the captain of the middle pack, even though I would say your performance is a little better than that.
Well, thanks, John.
Cindy too is I think being a little humble. She's no slouch in her day, so she could lay it down when she wanted to. But as I think she mentioned with Ronnie, it's oftentimes she didn't, and that's just Cindy. Is she'll take the longer finish time. So it's not because she necessarily had to go slower; it's just she wanted to go slower, and that's just who Cindy is, and that's one of the reasons we love her.
So, Cindy, at what point did triathlon start to become your career, specifically supporting athletes with TriDot?
Oh, wow. So I quit banking in 2008 to stay at home.
Okay.
And during that time was just a perfect time to get into the sport, because having our little training group and our Try For Him group gave me something more to do. And helping Jeff to grow Try For Him, I mean, I absolutely loved it. And so when he came to me and offered me an opportunity to come work for them at a paid job, I jumped on it. I mean, I thought this is going to be the perfect job ever. Now, the dynamics were a little different back then. We had just come out with the TriDot name maybe a year before. Up until then, really, it was just Coach Boo's plan. And our orientations were pretty simple. I handled all the athlete calls one-on-one.
So any new athlete coming in, you would just talk to them one-on-one?
We'd talk to them one-on-one. And I woke up every day happy. You know, what a better opportunity. Start a job doing something you love in a sport that you absolutely adore. And so it's changed over the years. I mean, now that we've grown, our orientation calls are handled very differently. We have gone to group calls, and no thanks to John, who got me through my first couple of group calls. That's something I was never...
pushing her out of her comfort zone.
Never comfortable with. But now I absolutely love our group calls. And my favorite part about the group call is at the end when those athletes get to ask questions. And one athlete might not have thought of a question, but when they hear it from another athlete, they're getting the benefit of the answer.
Yeah.
And so I mean, I tell people all the time, I have the best job in the world. I mean, the dynamics of my training and racing have changed over the past couple of years due to a health issue. But through all of that, being able to work in the sport, it still makes me happy.
So one of the key things you do for athletes is the TriDot orientation that you're talking about. And I just want to, just full confession for my end. When I first came to TriDot, I got the email invitation to attend an orientation, and I skipped it. I remember thinking like, oh, I don't need to do that. I'm pretty tech savvy. I'll figure it out. And then guess what? You know, I log on the TriDot, I set up my account, and in my first couple months of training, I had so many questions along the way. And even once I came on staff, we'll be on the podcast, and we'll talk about something, and Elizabeth will point out a TriDot feature, or John will talk about, you know, why TriDot does something a certain way, and it'll click for me, and I'll make a comment, and they'll be like, well, if you had attended a TriDot orientation, you would have known that already. And I was like, oh yeah, sure enough. So I know it's something that I certainly skipped. So talk to all the athletes out there about how that introduction session really sets athletes up for success when they come to TriDot.
So I think, first of all, athletes are not used to having an orientation. A lot of athletes are used to going online or seeing a plan in a magazine and writing it down, you know, printing up a 12-week training plan that they can look and read and
follow. Tells you run 3 miles on Friday morning and go
exactly.
Swim. Exactly. Yeah. So
exactly.
It's pretty basic.
And so that's what's unique about us, is it's not a static plan. It's very dynamic. And so for an athlete to get on board that orientation call, it really helps them to understand how the back end of the program works.
Okay.
And why it's important to make sure that their data is accurate. I mean, for me, I'm very budget-minded in this sport, which I think you have to be or else you can go broke. So if an athlete's spending the money coming on board TriDot and they're going to spend the time training, why not take 30 minutes out in the beginning, join me for an orientation,
and figure out how to do everything.
Get a better understanding of how it works. The more you understand how the program works, the better the experience will be.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So for, and this is a total aside, this isn't scripted, but just while we're talking about it, for athletes out there who maybe they're on TriDot and they did what I did and they just kind of skipped it and have been figuring it out, or maybe they're not on TriDot and they're about to join, what is the best way for them to find and get plugged into one of those orientation calls?
Yeah, so with the new athlete, you're going to get an email that gives you the opportunity to sign up. But if you're an athlete out there that's on board and you've never had an orientation, just click that red support button and come to me and I'll send you the link to get set up.
The red support button that currently does not have Cindy's face on it, but might one day.
Maybe someday. one of the sayings we cite fairly often is attributed to Abraham Lincoln. He said, if you give me 6 hours to cut down a tree, I'm going to spend 4 hours sharpening my axe. And basically, I think what happens a lot of times is triathletes will come in with dull axes. And everything can just work so much better if you take that time to sharpen the axe, so to speak. So if you can, another phrase we use often is doing the right training right. So you can have the right training, but if you don't do it right, you're not going to get the same results.
Benefit.
So it's very important to do the right training, but it's also critical to do the right training right. So take as much time as needed. Skip as many sessions as you need to learn how to do the right training right. If you have to miss 2 one-hour sessions, then skip your 2 hours. If it takes longer, if you're a slow learner, you need all week. Skipping an entire week of workouts in the long run is going to be advantageous if you invest that time in learning how to do the training. And Cindy knows it as good as anyone and is able to communicate and onboard to where just a little bit of time with Cindy is so empowering and so educating to where for the remainder of your triathlon career, you're going to know and have the tools and the resources to do the right training right. So just spend that time early on, skip a session. I guarantee you that time will be better
Don't
spent.
Don't be a dull axe athlete. That's what I was. Come in with a sharpened axe and be ready to hack down some PRs. All right, John and Cindy, you both are on the front line supporting athletes in their training and racing. Cindy, for you, it's via TriDot Support. John, it's through social media, ambassador, and coaching channels. So what I want to learn today, I want to take just a few minutes and kind of talk through some of the most frequently asked questions by TriDot athletes. And let's kind of take some time right here and right now to let you both answer kind of some common questions our athletes have. So Cindy, you and I kind of talked about this beforehand because I don't know what the most frequently asked questions are. And so you've kind of come prepared with you've identified the four biggest categories you find yourself addressing with athletes, and we're going to talk about them. So, Cindy, kick us off on frequently asked question number one. What is it?
So, frequently asked question number one will lead me to actually the number one mistake that an athlete makes on TriDot.
Okay.
The question that people inquire about are their training zones. Why are their training zones set at a certain way? Why don't they have a training zone? How do I know if it's right? And it always leads me to their assessment page. Assessments for TriDot athletes serve such a purpose in ensuring that we properly align their training zones. So 99% of the time, if an athlete has a question or an issue about their zones, I go to their assessment page and I can tell they've never completed the initial round of assessments.
So that also leads to the point of how important it is to provide ongoing assessments, because as the athletes change, the athletes progress, so do their zones and so do their intensity. So part of doing the right training right is training at the right intensity. And as the athletes adapt, as they train, as they detrain, whatever the case may be, it's always important to ensure that those assessment results are current and they're accurate. So to use an old phrase, garbage in, garbage out, it's only going to be as good as what is given to it. So current, accurate information is critical.
And if you join the orientation session, we talk about assessments.
And talk about how to input them, how to execute them, how it actually operates on the UX.
Absolutely. That is actually my number one item on an athlete's to-do list when they're getting started with us.
So I'll just take a second to piggyback off of talking about assessments to just encourage people if they have questions about them. I see people on the I Am Trot Facebook group ask about how assessments are supposed to be input or why they have to do them every single month. Cindy's orientation obviously is a great resource for that, but maybe you went through the orientation and have, now that you're in TriDot and you're doing it, maybe you have more questions. We have podcast episode 11. It's called Embracing Assessments and Realizing Their Hidden Benefits, and it is just nothing but 45, 50, 55 minutes of us talking about the assessment process at TriDot, why we believe in it, why we use it, and how it's beneficial to the athlete. So go check that out. So Cindy, what is frequently asked question number two?
All right. Number two is, why is my schedule gone? So this is where patience really comes into play. Because we are a very dynamic program, the system has a lot of opportunities to regenerate. When the system is regenerating a schedule, sometimes your schedule will be blank. Normally that regeneration occurs pretty quick, but sometimes it can take a little longer. So, you know, if you've added or deleted a race, if you've changed something in your preferences page, when you immediately go back to your training schedule, it will be blank. So don't panic. Give it a little bit and refresh your page before messaging support.
So, and that's really true anytime any new data is provided. So that includes as granular as daily training sessions. Every time new data is provided, your training is subject to change. And that's really one of the key components of TriDot, is that it is completely dynamic and we're not relying on someone having to go and make some arbitrary decisions or change training on a weekly basis or a monthly basis. The great thing about the software is it's alive and awake 24/7. So anytime that new data is provided, the training is subject to change based on that new data. So the great thing about
it's optimizing what is the most beneficial thing you can do tomorrow in your next training session. So if I've noticed exactly what you're saying. I mean, there's been times where on a Monday, I'll look just to kind of get an idea. Oh, what are my workouts this week? And I'll look at, oh, okay, I'm doing this. And maybe that bike session on Thursday might have been, 60 minutes at zone two. And by the time Thursday comes around, it might have changed to 30-90s or 30-30s or something different. And so it's important to look it up. And people have joked before on how they've even done the wrong workout.
Yeah.
Because they thought they crushed. I mean, I've done that before. There's one time I went for a run, and I thought I was doing, 6-minute intervals at such and such pace, and it turned out it had changed it on me, and I didn't take the time to look up what my proper workout was. So
one of the questions we get too about like downloading files, the bike files, is they're available for the next three sessions, and the reason for that is the fourth session, fifth session out, is largely kind of up in the air. So we don't necessarily know what that session is going to be. So we don't want to publish the training file until it's actually set. So you'll always have the next three bike sessions are available for download. But beyond that, it's kind of depends on what happens in those next three bike session as to what happens in that fourth, fifth, and sixth bike session.
Yeah. So when somebody, Cindy, notices their training, they open it up and there's just nothing there for that day. Or sometimes I think I've seen athletes ask you, hey, my program has nothing but swim, or all my swims just disappeared. Usually when we talk about the program regenerating, is that because people have changed their races? Is that because, people's, like John said, kind of day-to-day training has caused something to change? What is usually happening there?
Yeah, it absolutely, the biggest regeneration will occur when races are added or deleted, especially if they're races that are coming up within 12 or 16 weeks. If an athlete goes in to adjust their preferences, that could make a difference. When the data comes in each night, based upon how that athlete handled the workload, little changes could occur. Now, those changes, you won't see a blank schedule. That blank schedule will be more for updates on the season planner or
if
in your settings.
Changed a race, added a race, took away a race, which I know, again, at the time we're recording this, a lot of athletes are going through that because in this 2020 season, You know, we just don't necessarily know what our next race is going to be. So that's good to hear that that's a question you hear a lot about.
And a reason that it disappears is because when one thing changes, everything changes. So each individual's training is balanced. So it's not about just changing a couple sessions, because those sessions are going to impact what happens in those other sessions. So that's the great thing, is it's able really to almost start from scratch with all the data it has, everything it knows. It's able to create, again, that most current training plan. And again, we're not moving or changing one or two sessions. It's this now impacts everything, because any small change is kind of that butterfly effect. We change tomorrow's session, that changes every session from here on out. And that's the great thing of utilizing software in this capacity, is the ability to do that.
So let's have that move us on to FAQ number 3.
All right, number 3. A lot of athletes are concerned whether or not the TriDot plan is the right one for them. They might be concerned they're too new to the sport. They might be concerned that they're too slow to follow the training. Or there are some athletes that are elite and feel like this is not the program that's going to get them up to the next level.
Yeah.
I always have to reassure athletes that the benefit of having a plan that's built on this analytical engine is that it's built to adjust for anyone.
So there are so many inputs that go into creating, as Cindy mentioned, each individual's training plan. And it's based on data that has been collected from thousands of athletes for excess of a decade. It's based on millions, literally, of training files. So it is capable of producing a training plan for that first person that's looking to finish their first sprint race, or maybe bump up their distance. And at the same time, there are many elite level, professional level athletes that utilize TriDot. There are several athletes racing in Kona every year from that train with TriDot. So it really does truly run the spectrum of every athlete that is represented within TriDot, from the very beginner to world class athlete, from the 20-year-old to 70-year-old. In every age group, every body composition, everybody is represented. And that's really the only way we can do that, is through that big data. Me as a coach, I couldn't specialize in everyone.
Yeah.
I couldn't have the expertise to write training plans and work with a 25-year-old female and at the same time be an expert in 70-year-old males. But leveraging the big data and leveraging the technology, I can work with those athletes and allow the training plan to be created through that big data process.
Yeah, I think for me as your average athlete, I don't want to say I was hesitant to ever having a coach, but I always kind of thought in my first years in the sport that I don't want to say I wasn't qualified to have a coach, but I just didn't feel like I was at a place in the sport competitively where I deserved a coach. I knew a coach could make me faster, but I was just like, oh, I'm just your average sprint Olympic athlete. Like, I don't need a coach. I'm not really good enough to merit having a coach, I guess is probably the best way to put it. And that was a mindset I carried for a number of years, just as an average age group athlete in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And I think when I came to TriDot, it wasn't necessarily because I was, you know, thinking that I was finally fast enough to merit, you know, getting a coach. It was just that I was finally just looking to make that step up to the half Ironman, Ironman distance, and I knew I needed more guidance, and I found TriDot. And once I found it, I mean, really, and Cindy, you can kind of chime in on this. I feel like, again, it's for everybody, entry level all the way to pro. But if someone is entry into the sport, they're going to grow in the sport so much faster on something like TriDot than going it by themselves, right?
Oh, there is nothing more exciting than seeing a new athlete that's maybe doing their 5K test and it took them 50 minutes to do it.
Yeah.
And then a couple months down the road, after a number of different assessment tests, to see their improvement.
Yeah. And so, I encourage everybody out there, I mean, to if you've been listening for a while, maybe haven't given it a shot, give it a shot, because it's, no matter who you are, it's just, it's optimized training for you. And for the final frequently asked question, Cindy, that you find yourself getting from athletes all the time, what is it?
Why are my zone 2 workouts so easy, especially for the runs? Why do I feel like I am walking?
That darn zone 2. Make it stop.
And I have to tell athletes that if you're handling your other zones properly, you should enjoy those zone 2s. They are your recovery.
Yeah.
They just don't feel that pace is going to produce improvement.
Yeah.
Something that we see, it's very common among triathletes as a rule, is the hard days aren't hard enough and the easy days aren't easy enough. So it's often something that new athletes or sometimes even experienced athletes aren't necessarily used to. This is not their, it's not necessarily a natural inclination in training. We want to go faster, so we want to train faster. But there's absolute so much well-documented data and evidence and science that shows that there are different adaptations that happen when you go slow. By going slow, the end result will be going faster. And it's we've discussed it in other podcasts, but
multiple. I just pulled up the episode list right now to see which one I should reference. And there's multiple episodes where we've talked, and this is why, John. I mean, tri-dot training isn't done by accident, and the podcast episodes we decided to release early on weren't by accident. We released, and honestly, all of Cindy's FAQs here, I mean, there's a podcast for all of them. Because when we started this podcast, we wanted to hit the most frequently asked questions first. And so all the things that she's hearing from athletes and customer support, we have a podcast that addresses almost all of them. And on this one in particular, there's multiple podcasts. The one that I'm seeing that comes to mind first is episode 12 about run training, you know, proper pacing in your run training. We had the Power Stamina Paradox episode that talks about, you know, when we train for stamina and when we train for power. And but yeah, there's multiple things that talk about why tri-dot training is designed the way it is. And that's what we're seeing with this zone two is we've talked before about how beneficial it is and what physiological adaptations your body makes in zone two that it doesn't make in zone four or zone three. And so there's a reason why that time is there. And what I've learned as an athlete myself, and particularly I find myself, to your point, Cindy, on like the zone two runs, I've learned to really just enjoy those. Like, hey, just actually, that's your day to stop and smell the roses. You know, try a new route on your zone 2 day. You know, go, you know, do a little bit more scenic of a run on your zone 2 day. You know, just enjoy it, kick back. It shouldn't be hard. But on my swims, John, is when I really find myself having to force myself to go slow enough on my zone 2 stuff when it tells me to swim smooth. And I always remind myself in the back of my head, there's some zone 4 intervals coming.
Yeah.
And if you don't go slow enough on the zone 2 stuff, you're going to pay for it when it comes time to swim at zone 4. And it's really like that in your week. If you rush that zone 2 run early in the week, you know, when you have some of your key sessions the next day, you don't have the legs that you need to really kill that session. So
you also take someone like me who running was not the discipline that I cared for. And so I don't have the best running form, and I am a little slower of a runner. So it's that zone 2 work that gives me the opportunity to refocus on my form.
And that's great. Yeah, that's a great point. So Cindy, now that we've kind of covered the four big things you find yourself addressing, this is just a selfish question. I'm super curious about this. We could say there's no such thing as a stupid question, but I just don't think that's actually true. I say this as someone who's asked some silly questions over the years. But the thing is, y'all are here for those. Whether it's a great question or a strange one, we want athletes to enter their training sessions with confidence. So just for funsies and to appease my curiosities, I'm not trying to poke fun at anyone, of course. So if what Cindy says here is a question you asked, don't be insulted, please. What is maybe one of the funniest or strangest questions you've been asked by an athlete?
So this question actually turned into a lot of women coming to ask me, but I had an athlete once ask me if I could help her learn to pee on the bike. To pee on the bike.
Okay.
You know, for those of you that race a little longer distance, when you finish the race, you look at your watch and you tend to notice those minutes that you had to pull over to use the lovely porta potty. So Learning to pee on the bike is not an easy experience, but
I've never tried it. I have yet to try it.
It is something that you definitely
I'll have John teach me, not you. So,
yeah. You definitely have to practice it.
So how did that request first start? Did somebody click the support button?
No. This was actually a local athlete, okay. And it started when we were looking at her race results. And I was wondering what all of these times were that she was stopped. And she had just missed her PR by just a few minutes. And we determined that if she didn't stop at the porta potty so much, that she would have made her PR.
Yeah, minutes each time.
Absolutely, especially if you have to wait in line. And so we just set out to work to get her to pee on the bike. We had a large gallon of water. We have a little course that we do our local assessment on, and I said, all right, we're going to head out there and you're not going to stop until you learn to adjust and pee on the bike.
Don't come off the bike until you've urinated.
For women, it sounds so awful to talk about this, and I'm probably embarrassing myself, but
I mean, these are real issues in our sport.
It makes a huge difference because there's nothing worse than coming out of a porta potty. And if you don't readjust those tri shorts the right way, you can get on your bike and your bike is miserable.
Yeah.
So to keep from having to do that,
just
there
pee on the
you
bike.
Go. And so over the years, I've definitely talked to a number of women in helping them learn how to do that.
Yeah, see, valid question, but a strange one. Yeah.
So if you can pee on the bike, you can PR.
So when we inevitably do a podcast episode on peeing on the bike, we'll call it peeing the PR.
Pee to PR.
Yeah. Yeah. Learn how to pee to hit that PR. Yeah. And when we inevitably have a YouTube video kind of talking about it, we'll make sure Cindy's on there since she's answered this question so many times. So
a resident expert.
So back on episode 18 of the podcast, we were talking about triathlon coaching. And Cindy, one thing that Coach Elizabeth James mentioned is that you are the ultimate matchmaker when an athlete comes to Tridot looking to partner with a coach. How do you decide what coach might be the best fit for an athlete wanting coaching?
So these are some of my favorite times to communicate with an athlete. And a lot of times when an athlete wants to start working with a coach, I actually prefer to talk with them versus going back and forth via email. You know, when you talk to someone, you get a better idea, a sense of what their personality is like.
Yeah.
I ask them a ton of questions. I want to know, first of all, why did you initially contact us to work with a coach? What spurred that? What are your goals in the sport? I like to talk to them about their background in the sport. I like to hear about their life. You know, what else do they juggle with triathlons? Do they have kids? Tell me about your job. I also like to ask them what their challenges have been. What do they feel like their limitations have been up to now racing? You know, if I talk to an athlete that, oh my gosh, I hate the water, I don't know how to swim, I mean, sometimes I know which coach to put them with. And another thing I do like to ask is, how do you like to communicate? That has definitely changed over the past couple of years with athletes. And some athletes are huge on text messaging.
Yeah.
Other athletes, they want to email, but they might only want to email communication in the evening. And then, you know, we have some athletes that are just diehard phone. They want to be able to talk to that coach one time a week. So you almost want to connect them with the coach that is comfortable with their type of communication.
So on the flip side, do you have conversations with a lot of our coaches?
Oh, I've had conversation with our coaches as soon as they come on board.
Okay.
There's a list of questions that I have for them also. And then I always finish off the conversation with an athlete that's looking at going with the coach and letting them know that if they're going to spend the money on the coach, they need to be willing to be honest.
Yeah.
They have to share the struggles. They have to be willing to say, talk about nutrition. You know, you can't join in with the coach and then have a struggle with, you know, oh, I love to eat 3 pizzas every night or something like that that's going to affect your training the next day. So if you're going to spend the money on the coach, you have to be willing to be honest.
With your coach.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So as she mentioned, Cindy does a fantastic job of knowing our coaches. Something she'll do periodically is even poll the coaches as to what their expertise areas are. So oftentimes an athlete will come and they're looking for a coach with a particular area of expertise, whether it be nutrition or strength training, injury prevention, race execution, whatever the case may be. So she does a fantastic job of knowing exactly who those coaches are and then from there matching personalities and communication styles and all that. So yeah, she just does a fantastic job of really getting to know everyone, whether it be the coach, the athlete, and then making a great connection between those two.
Now, Cindy, I know your faith in Jesus is a big component in your life, and you mentioned earlier on the podcast how important that is to you, and a lot of our staff as well are Christ followers, but collectively in the TriDot family, we have a wide variety of beliefs and backgrounds amongst our athletes, and it's something that we have really come to enjoy. TriDot is for everyone. We say that. We believe that. But I know for you, there have been some times when you've had the opportunity to talk about faith with an athlete. And there have been some times when you have gotten to pray with an athlete about something they're going through. What do moments like that mean for you as somebody who is so guided by your faith?
You know, anytime I talk about it, I always think that I might tear up. I'm always in awe that God can take someone like me, broken and a sinner, and open a door to something that can be life-changing.
Wow.
And so if an athlete knows, you know, of my past or my struggles or the fact that I'm a believer, and if they're willing to open up to me and let me pray for them or, gosh, just be a lending ear, it just reassures me that God's just put me in the right place. And I think so often people struggle with that. And so I love knowing the feeling that I'm in the right place to help. You know, every day when I get up and I open the computer, I pray over the day. I'm so blessed to start off my day with a group call with our core team who all share the same core values. And I just hope that, you know, we can help someone and make a difference in their life.
So when athletes see that red support button on, you know, on the screen, you know, that literally is a direct button to you, essentially.
It absolutely is. And everybody sees on my tagline, I have my TriDot, but I still also have Try for Him on there, because while our Try for Him groups are a little smaller than they are, back when our Try for Him groups were spread out around the United States, I helped those local groups get started with their local ministry. And so I kind of still do that. So it's not a secret that I'm a believer. People see that on my tagline. They see the Bible verse, and I think they know, and they must feel comfortable enough to open up when there is a need.
No, that's absolutely incredible. And so as we kind of close out the main set today, I wanted you to get to talk about that because it's important to all of us. But as we close out the main set today, Cindy, what would you maybe say just to encourage all of our athletes as they continue in their triathlon journey?
You know, my encouragement, and it's always been part of our prayers when we do pre-race prayer at races, is go be an encouragement to other people. You know, you're really lucky to be in this sport, so go share it with someone else. Go grab someone. Invite them to do a sprint relay with you. The joy that you get from helping someone into the sport, it far outweighs the medals that you see on the wall. You know, watching someone finish their first, my favorite thing to do is to encourage someone to do a relay with me, and I always let them do the 5K.
Yeah.
Because they're crossing the finish line, and the joy of encouraging someone, it's just, it's such a blessing. And then encourage those race directors. Go out and volunteer at the races. If you're injured, if you can't race, be an encouragement to those race directors by helping them. Volunteer. Definitely give back to the sport that you love.
Great set, everyone. Let's cool down.
Today, we are going to close with some athlete shout-outs. We love interacting with athletes in the TriDot family, and we love sharing in your tri journeys and successes. Now, each of us is going to take a quick second and just give a quick shout-out to an athlete that is just killing it right now in some way. And, John, I'll have you go first. Who do you want to give a shout-out to today?
This is hard. So I kind of equate this to picking my favorite kid, which I only have three kids, which I have, like, there's hundreds.
It's more than me, John.
There's hundreds of TriDot athletes that are just crushing it. So, like, you know, it's probably easier to pick one of three kids as opposed to, like, one of hundreds of TriDot athletes that are crushing it. But I think I had two that just immediately came to mind.
I'll let you say two. That's fine.
I was going to do it anyway. But thanks. athlete I've been working with for a number of years who continues just to really train consistently, train right, and really reaping the benefits, is really set up for a fantastic season, is Kristen Overton, who, like many, has her first race of the year was rescheduled, so she's just going to be that much better, that much more prepared.
And she seems very enthusiastic about rolling with the punches and saying, hey, back to development work, back to getting faster. You know, don't dwell on the disappointment of losing that race day. You know, get back to the grind.
Yeah, she's been a champ, and I'm really excited for her. She's earned it. She deserves it. So looking forward to her getting back on the race course. And then also another one, just super mom, is Sarah St. Vincent. Same thing. She was, like you, signed up for Ironman Texas. And kind of at the last minute had the rug pulled out, but also just consistently training. Doing a great job with that and juggling everything else that she has going on. Just, I'm so impressed with so many of the athletes that handle their training load and then careers and family and everything else. So, so many good ones, but those are just a couple.
All right. Cindy, who is a athlete you want to give a shout out to today?
Yeah, so I'm going to go ahead and pick a single and a couple. So my single is Shelley Goolsby. She's a local athlete here in the Houston area. And I really commend her over the past couple of years since she's been on board with TriDot. She's not scared to ask questions, but when she gets the answer, she goes with it.
Okay.
She does what she has to do. She does the right training. She doesn't throw in extra workouts. She handles her sessions and her assessments, and she is consistently improving. And I've kind of poked at her a little bit with Texas being rescheduled, that when it finally happens, I bet we see her on the podium.
Oh,
she
wow.
has just handled her training that well. So maybe giving her this little shout out will give her a little motivation to do that. And then we have a couple, Kay and Brian Grant, and I want to give a shout out
to
them.
Oh, they're wonderful. Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm not a huge social media person, but when I get on there and when I look at the comments from them, they are just eternal optimists. And
just
they
kind
are
people.
Kind, encouraging people, and I really appreciate having a couple like them in our family.
Yep, absolutely. So I'm going to give my shout out to a newer TriDot athlete, but he's one that from the beginning, when we launched the podcast, he reached out to me and was just very complimentary with the work we were doing and the information and the quality. And he's somebody who does a little media himself. And so coming from a standpoint of knowing that industry and knowing, you know, audio, you know, about editing a little bit, and it's Shannon Rogers. So he has a Instagram account and a YouTube account called Renaissance Woodworker, where he will kind of work on and highlight a woodworking project that he's done and teach you how to do it. And so on top of triathlon being now a newer hobby of his, he is that as well. And so with his work on that, you know, he and I were able to kind of dialogue a little bit just about, you know, audio recording and doing a show. And so I just want to give a shout out to him because especially right now, as we're kind of all in this race cancellation postponement phase, he's just rolled with it. He's doing the right training right. But more importantly, his Renaissance Woodworking Instagram account has been super entertaining for me. I am not good at that kind of stuff at all. I am terrible at home remodeling, woodworking, hands-on kind of things, and he's very gifted at that. So it's been very interesting to me to see his Instagram account as he's spending more time doing that He actually just put up on his Instagram account where he made a tablet holder for his pain cave. So it's an all wood, beautiful kind of dark wood, kind of angled shelf that comes out from his wall that's in front of his treadmill. So he can have his iPad on, you know, perched on it as he's doing his Zwift and treadmill workouts. And so to see him kind of take his woodworking hobby and mesh it to his triathlon hobby was pretty cool. But he was just a very good, as many athletes have been encouraging to us as we've launched this podcast, he was one that was encouraging to me from the get-go. Just a great member of the Tridot family who has a really cool, unique skill on the side. So I encourage you all to go check out Renaissance Woodworker on Instagram and YouTube and give Shannon a follow. He's really talented and really entertaining to watch on there.
Well, that's it for today, folks. I want to thank Tridot's own Cindy Reeves and John Mayfield for talking through some of the most frequently asked questions they receive from athletes. Shout out to TriTats for partnering with us on today's episode. Head to tritats.com and place your order because that is the perfect way to make sure you are ready to make your mark when your next race comes around. Enjoying the podcast? Have any questions you want to hear our coaches answer? Head to tritout.com/podcast and click on Submit Feedback to let us know what you're thinking. We'll do it again soon. Until then, happy training.
Thanks for joining us. Make sure to subscribe and share the TriDot podcast with your triathlon crew. For more great tri content and community, connect with us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Ready to optimize your training? Head to TriDot.com and start your free trial today. TriDot, the obvious and automatic choice for triathlon training.